we all can participate in government. And it told about my story. And basically, you know, I come into this not from a political background. I'm just a regular person who got really pissed off about what was happening in the world and told some personal stories about how I specifically felt really threatened because of all this anti-Asian rhetoric coming out of the Trump administration, and thinking about the Japanese internment camps and thinking, what if they took me to a camp, you know? And so that was really poignant for me, especially thinking about my family and my small kids and how that I turned that fear and anxiety into action. And now I'm working at her term, helping women get elected. And, you know, we turned Georgia blue in 2020. And so we're really working on doing a lot more. And it was just trying to encourage people to understand their own power and their own value that they can make these changes to.
This is an It All Media production. Welcome to the Fuck It All podcast, a show inspired by and dedicated to modern women undoing it all. I'm your host, Casey Lett Gordon. On this show, I sit down with everyday women having what we call fuck it all moments. You know, those moments in time where we choose what's best for ourselves above anything else, often in opposition to the expectations of society, family, community, and hell, even our former selves. So settle in for the new stories that define us and the conversations women want to have.
Hi, welcome back to the Fuck It All podcast for modern women redefining it all. Today, I am sitting down with my wonderful friend, executive director of Her Term, Han Pham. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you recently spoke at TEDx Women. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that experience.
It was amazing. TED has a real formula on how to give talks. And so I thought I knew how to, you know, talk about myself, but they have a really good way of figuring this out. And I thought I was just going to talk about my work with Her Term. And they were really pushing me on telling a story. And I really hate to talk about myself. So it was hard for me to dig deep and pull out a story, but the coaches were amazing. Mm. And I just kept kind of, it was like they were like, just like pulling this like strand and just like kept coming out of me, you know? And we, you know, set this out and they gave feedback and just iteration over iteration, rehearsal over rehearsal, something really beautiful came out that I couldn't have done by myself. And I felt like it was a real testament to both, like, this is why TED Talks are so good. But
I mean, I guess they have a brand.
Yes. But also, it made me appreciate myself a little bit more, which I really, you know, like, we as women, I don't think we always appreciate ourselves enough. So yeah. That was a really great experience.
I love that. I've heard from so many women that come on the show that say, and it sounds like you had a similar experience, when we're forced to look at our own stories and put ourselves at the center of that as the main story, they say on the other side of it, I didn't really realize I had a story to tell. Mm-hmm. And it's a really transformative process and experience of doing that. Can you share with us here what was your talk on? Obviously, we can share with our audience about Her Term and the work you're doing there, which is incredible. And we have partnerships. Go to itallmedia.co. You can read all about that. But tell our listeners and watchers what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, it was about representation in government and basically about how we all can participate in government. And it told about my story. And basically, you know, I come into this not from a political background. I'm just a regular person who got really pissed off about what was happening in the world and told some personal stories about how I specifically felt really threatened because of all this anti-Asian rhetoric coming out of the Trump administration and thinking about the Japanese internment camps and thinking, what if they took me to a camp, you know? And so that was really poignant for me, especially thinking about my family and my small kids and how that I turned that fear and anxiety into action. And now I'm working at Her Term, helping women get elected. And, you know, we turned Georgia blue in 2020. And so we're really working on doing a lot more. And it was just trying to encourage people to understand their own power and their own value that they can make these changes to.
Amazing. Her Term, for those that may not be familiar, the way I understood it that you've explained it to me, it's I'm gonna make sure I do it justice, is that after the 2016 election, so many of us, I think especially women, were sitting here angry. I think, you know, you were frustrated, scared. And so one, I really love that you say you put that fear into action. So often, I know Katie's coaches me all the time. She comes from more of the social impact world. And sometimes when I look at the whole picture, I'm just like, I got to lay in bed and go to sleep because this is too much.
And it's okay. You can do that.
And thank you. I needed that today. But she says, like, focus on the one. That's where you have to start. And so after the 2016 election, you all then had a grassroots effort to get more women in public office. And I know some of the conversations we've had with your candidates, many of these women are first-time candidates. To be a first-time candidate at all in today's world, I find to be terrifying.
Yes.
Nothing is off limits, it seems. And then second of all, as a woman, to put that at the center of your story, and many of these as women of color, can you just share a bit about, like, the impact? What is her term? What do you guys envision? Because right here, we're always talking about systems change. And systems, at the end of the day, start with the stories we're told when we're younger, when we're in our classrooms, when we're in our families, and we learn and have to unlearn things throughout our lives.
For sure. And that's one of the big things that we want to do, too, is spotlight these stories of women. So we have lots of models of different women that can run and be successful. Because I think a lot of people think, I could never run, because they're thinking about, like, Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Right? And they're like, I'm not. But, you know, we have a 70-year-old woman who ran this last cycle, right? And she, you know, she remembers her story of her mother going out to vote. She's a Black woman. And her mother went out to vote for the first time. And her parents said, don't. You'll get killed. And so she was a six-year-old watching her mom say, no, I need to go vote. This is important. We finally have this right. And she wasn't sure if her mom was going to come back, you know? And so she was like, if my mom can make that stand, I need to make this stand. And so after SB 202, which was the voting rights law passed, she was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run. And so, you know, it's stories like this where it's like these people you don't expect to run, they're not the typical people you think would run, are the people we need. Because the thing that differentiates her term is we really wanted to make a very targeted approach at actually making a really big difference. And so we are looking at seats that need to get flipped. And so we're recruiting women in rural areas, in places all far flung across Georgia where no one has ever challenged the incumbent. And so one of our candidates at another fundraiser we held for her, she was like, I am running. I'm probably not going to win, but I'm running because no longer are we going to let anyone just prance into their seat. They have to earn it, and they have to fight for it, and I'm going to make them fight for it. And so these women that her term specifically focuses on are first-time candidates trying to flip seats, probably the hardest job there is out there right now. And they are so brave because they know the chances of them winning are really low, but they're putting their all into it and trying to win anyway. And so they're so inspirational. Every day I talk to them, I just, it's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like that has to be like drugs for your soul. Like that, you know, to have that. So you mentioned something about not winning. And I think that there's a lot of conversation. I mean, this ties back to having it all. It's very binary. You win or you lose, or you have it all or you don't. And this idea that they're comfortable going in to say the chances are against me, but I'm going to do it anyways because it's not a binary decision or not a binary impact. Even if I lose, there are things to be learned, impacted, et cetera. I'm curious, how do we foster more of that mindset? I struggle with that. I a lot of times will opt out if I don't think there's a chance, or it's like, what is the point? And that, you know, actively working through that. But how, as women, I feel like that's true of young girls, like in our lives, it's such the structure that we're in. So I'm curious how you look at that and how you all are helping, whether it's you individually and personally. I know you have a daughter, so like thinking about that or in the work you're doing with her term.
Well, there are a couple of things. One of the things that we did that was incredibly impactful and innovative, and it kind of baffles me that this was innovative, was that we started offering therapy services. So we were
drop the mic.
No one else has ever done that for candidates before. We recruited a whole bunch of volunteer therapists to come and provide free or low cost one-on-one services to candidates. Totally open, just contact, just say you're a her term candidate and we can go in with it. And then we do weekly candidate support group. And you don't understand, we have people come in, drop in, some of them are regular, some of them are different, some of them are like, yesterday was really shitty. I needed to come in today. And I have gotten emails from people who have never even shown up to the group. And they said, just to know that it is there is so helpful. And it's been one of these things that I'm so proud of because I don't understand why no one else has done it, but I'm glad that we're doing it. And these women really thank me over and over again for that. And I'm so glad we can do that for them.
That's incredible. I think about patriarchy, toxic masculinity. If we had therapy for just in general, for especially people in office, what would be the reverberations of that to have support systems and not make it be you have to do this all on your own?
Right.
That's a flaw in a system itself.
Yeah.
I think about my fuck it all moment. We talk about it a lot here on the show. It was as I went on maternity leave, promoted to SVP. And on paper, that sounds amazing. Just running for office sounds amazing on paper.
Right.
But as you begin to peel back the onion, the lack of systems to support that, you're setting someone up to fail. That was ultimately the pressure that was unsustainable for me in that moment. And I think about what you're doing and also should they lose a race, their ability to walk away still in their power.
Yes. And so we talk a lot about that, about, okay, what are our secondary goals? Mm. So in these week by weeks, and it's group therapy. So it's so great because we have some candidates who aren't actually first time candidates because having that there, it drew in everyone. I invited every single progressive woman in office and running for office. And so we had someone who has been in office for 14 years, someone who has run 3 times and still not won, and still running, you know? And so we had a new candidate who was she was just her husband got into a car accident, and she was he did this because he was trying to put up signs for me, you know? And she's if I don't win, all these people have been putting all this in, people are getting hurt, and it's all for me, and it's gonna be for nothing. And thank goodness the other candidates were no, it's not all for nothing, right? And so they would talk her through, and we were talking about what other impact you can have. And when we've also done interviews and profiles about them, and when we do that, we talk about what those secondary goals are, and that's elevating other women, being a role model, and then also paving the road blue, right? And so letting those people in their districts that have never had a Democratic candidate know that there's a choice out there. And so that they will vote. And so they've been increasing turnout just by showing up. I mean, there's so many good aspects of this, getting their friends and family who have never voted before to finally get engaged.
Yeah.
So many big things can happen just from running. And so there are lots of little wins besides the big win.
Yeah, I mean, I think about goal setting. We've talked about this here on the show in the past, and we were mentioning it earlier around these binary goals, but when we set goals that are more on a spectrum of saying, I want to elevate women, that can be in you talking to your daughter, that can be on a stage, that can be in office, but it allows us to have, I think, a lot more, one, impact, but two, gentleness with ourselves of how we show up that day. And I know for me, I didn't have that as tangible tools and resources, and it's something that I've had to learn through usually something breaking and then you having to, go back and fix that. As you're doing this, we talk here and I've mentioned it, it's stories inform, beliefs inform our actions and actions inform our systems. When we started the podcast around this idea of undoing it all, redefining it all, I'm curious your relationship with the proverbial it all and maybe how that's changed over time.
Yeah, I mean, my story, is similar to yours. I was in corporate America working up and going up through the system. And, I didn't have as huge of an impactful moment as you did. But what I was realizing was that I just wasn't happy and just wasn't fulfilled, right? And I really wanted to volunteer, but I just didn't have time to. And I really wanted to go do all these other things, but I was like, I can't because I have to be in this job and I have to succeed and I have to get the title. And when I was on maternity leave and layoffs happened, and so I got this, calendar notice on that was just like, okay, come join us. And I was like, I'm definitely going to make this meeting, even though I'm on maternity leave. And of course, I knew they were like, we've, eliminated your department. And so we'll all need you to all reapply to the new job that we have. And I was like, excuse me, I think I need severance. And they're like, oh.
Yeah. So they weren't expecting that.
They weren't expecting it. And so I got my severance. And basically, I was still on maternity leave. And I was like, okay, I got 4 months. But if I use my severance package, I get basically a year. And that's a real maternity leave. So
1,000%. That's a whole other conversation for
yes.
God bless. So yours, you ended up taking the severance.
So I took the severance, and it took me so long to finally like shed the corporate anxiety. I remember I'd be on the playground with the kids playing around, and I just pick up my phone and keep checking. I'm like, what am I checking for?
Right, the muscle memory.
Yeah, it was like, no one's contacting me. No one's, but that anxiety was there. And so I was like, okay. And so then I started just like leaving the phone in the car because no one's trying to contact me. It doesn't matter. And I started kind of unlearning all of that stuff. And I realized that, oh, this stuff about, and my company, when you got promoted, you got a parking spot. So I was like, oh, I need to get, I can't wait to get manager so I can get my parking spot. And then if you get director, then you get an assigned parking spot and that's covered. And then if you get to be a SVP, you get to have a free car wash. And, you know, and then it was the same thing with the offices, right? So you could either, you would get a cubicle, you get an assigned office, you get an office with a window, you get, you know, all these things with, you know, climbing the ladder. And I realized that all I was working hard for was like stupid perks like that. And I was like, that's so meaningless. And so when I started to really feel like, okay, I was looking for jobs again, I interviewed with all the same jobs. All of my old, everyone who I worked with before called me. Every single SVP I'd ever worked with called me for another job. And I was like, no, I did the interview process and I just realized that just wasn't what I wanted to do. Yeah. And so I started to just like really explore, like, how can I really spend my time to really feel good? And met up with some wonderful women who had some great advice about different organizations that were out there that would really speak to me. Mm. And the organizations I still work with, Her Term is one of them. Yeah. And then the other one was the Global Village Project, which is a school for refugee girls. Amazing. Because my parents are refugees, and my mom, she didn't get to go to school. She had to stop school at second grade.
Oh my gosh.
And all of my life, she was like, education is so important. You have to get education. And so this school is like the school my mom should have had.
I love that.
So I started volunteering, and now I'm chair of the board. And what I realized was I thought that volunteering had to be like, you had to like, you know, pack lunch bags or you had to like, you know, do
I always think
thing.
Of it as two lanes. I either think it's that or you have to be so rich of like large scale philanthropic giving. And it's like, there's a lot of middle ground. I'm just learning this literally over the past probably year.
Yeah, it's so true. And actually all of my skills from business are directly applicable to board service. And so all of that stuff that I was feeling at work about, you know, okay, I'm gaining all these skills. How am I getting myself promoted? Are people recognizing me? All of a sudden, I go into this nonprofit with these skills, and they're like, oh, my God, thank you. They're like, we needed someone to be able to do that. You are so efficient. We don't know how to be efficient, you know?
Yeah.
And so that felt really good. And then the kind of promotion that I was looking for, I actually ended up getting by working up through the ranks of being on the board, and now I'm board. And so, like, these titles are still there.
Did you get the parking spot, though?
I do. I have my own my little name tag, which my daughter loves. My daughter, she brought her little friend into the house yesterday, and she's like, look at this name tag from my mom. It says board chair.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, so it's not like if you leave the corporate life, you don't get those things. They just look different, and they feel better. You know?
Yeah, they look different and feel better. God, that could be like the name of this episode. It looks different and it feels better. I'm curious, when we talk about the power of story, and we've talked about it a bit with Her Term and, you know, even in your own life, the work we're doing here to tell these stories and have these conversations help give meaning to a lot of, you know, I think it's one thing just to see these stories, but it's another thing to really dissect them and understand the nuance. For you, what's the power in that? I'd love just to hear your thoughts.
Well, you guys really helped us out actually with our candidates with your authentic storytelling program. That was 2 hours with our candidates and they loved it. They still talk about it. And I think there is that power in authenticity. And so as I work with these candidates and, you know, we bring them to all these events and they talk and tell their story, they're really juxtaposed. And so am I in this kind of like, especially with the TED Talks, it's like, I don't want to talk about myself. I want to talk about what you want to hear about. But my impression of what you want to hear about isn't the same as what actually impacts you, you know? And so being able to be your authentic self and tell your authentic story, really, there's power in connecting. And that was something that was surprising me. I got my first piece of fan mail after the TED Talk. Someone reached out to me who was in the audience. And she was like this older white woman. And my whole story was about being a child of immigrants and learning how to vote. And so she was like, your story really resonated. Mm-hmm. And I was like, thank you. And it's surprising to me because our backgrounds aren't similar.
Right.
You know, but there are just those pieces of feeling like other, of feeling kind of helpless and wanting to do something and kind of finding that part where how you fit in, you know, is just kind of universal. But that could only be told through authentic storytelling and through telling our stories, you know? And so I think, yeah, I mean, this is why we have face-to-face meetings too, right? Because there's that power and just this connection.
Yeah.
And that's why social media is like, you know.
Right. It has its limitations there.
Yeah.
A couple rapid fire questions. What's your favorite part of being a woman?
Oh, my God. I loved being pregnant. I loved being able to have a baby. And just that whole process was just amazing.
What makes you feel in your power?
You know.
Other than being a badass on a TED.
I think just I love being organized, and I love it when everything kind of works according to plan.
Yeah.
And just order really makes me feel powerful.
Right. Well, on the flip side, when things are totally chaotic, not in order, finish the sentence for me. When my power is shaken, I
need to take a break. I need to sleep. And that's one of my, I feel like when people would joke about like, what are your superpowers? I would joke, my superpower is being able to take the power nap. It was so good in college. My roommates were like, how can you do that? For 15 minutes, I'm like, I just need to. I just know my batteries need to be recharged.
Yeah.
And so like when things are bad, I have just learned to adapt to just like shut it down and bring it in tight and just sleep it off. And just that is what I need to do. And maybe for 15 minutes and maybe for 3 hours. Recently, it's more like 3 hours.
I mean, you've had a lot going on.
But
yeah.
And I accept that sometimes I need to just like shut it all down and it's okay.
Yeah. How do you define today having it all?
I define it as having enough in all of my little buckets. Like I visualize myself as this is my personal life. This is my like professional life. You know, these are these other things that I have that are my interests. And as long as none of them are empty, they don't have to be overflowing, but as long as, you know, I don't have a bucket that's leaking, there's nothing that I need, I'm good. And I'm really content and happy. You know, going back to always needing these, like, titles, like, I don't feel that desire anymore to, like, that felt like such a hollow, empty feeling of just, like, you know?
Yeah.
And so now, like, my buckets feel full. Like, I feel fulfilled in all these little places, but there's not too much of anything. And that, I think, is having it all.
Yeah. I love that idea of enough. I think that so often I don't want to do too much or I want more, but this idea that there's just enough and that sometimes they're overflowing and sometimes there's just a little bit of, you know, rainwater in there, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
What is one thing you would tell your younger self?
Oh, my God. Don't marry that first person.
That is the second time we've gotten that answer. And I mean, sound advice. And on the flip side, looking at future Han, what is one thing you hope for yourself?
You know, I was reading something about Nancy Pelosi and how like she was able to do all this like after she turned like 60 or something. Mm. And I admire all these badass women who are badass through, you know, their later years. And I hope that I stay badass as, like, even older. Like, I don't want to retire and be like, just okay, just, like, quiet and in my house. Like, I want to keep kicking ass.
Still making noise.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being our very first podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, this was the best. Thank you all for joining us for the Fuck It All podcast, now Vodcast. This is Han Pham. She joined us today, the executive director of Her Term. Please go check out herterm.org. They're an incredible grassroots organization doing work here in Georgia. And I'm sure knowing you, probably bigger plans long term.
Yep.
We'll see you next time.
And that's a wrap on another episode of the Fuck It All podcast. This is an It All Media production, a home for the news stories that define us and the conversations women want to have. If you haven't already, go over to itallmedia.co/join to get It All in your inbox every week. And make sure you subscribe here and drop us a rating, because baby, that's how this whole world goes round. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Fuck It All podcast.